Morning, everyone. I am Pastor Jim. I am currently serving this Sunflower Community Church. Up until last year, I've been serving youth ministry / young adult ministry at Gwangmyeong Methodist Church. And again, it was a privilege to be there in Christ, you know, having fun, having all those blessings. And when I was praying for my next step, God gave me this heart toward Sunflower Community Church, you know, serving with Pastor David. And it's been doing good. It's been going good, and I'm enjoying it. And I noticed that many people, many friends of mine, they ask me, hey, what's it like, you know, having worship service at the theater? And I tell them that we have, first thing that I tell them is we have a big screen. And they all go wild. So let's enjoy that privilege. We'll watch a video. I guess most of us know what the movie's about. I'll give you a short explanation for those of you who might not know the story. It's called Lion King. It's quite famous. One of the most famous Disney movie in the history. And I love it so much. I mean, I'm all grown up. I still watch, you know, those clips from YouTube. Not even movie clips, but like musical clips, because I love musicals. I love plays. So I watch them still. And it's about Lion King. There's a prince, Simba, from Lion King. And, you know, he's supposed to be a king, but his uncle tried to take over his place by killing his father. And then he's sent out to wilderness, and he makes a comeback, and eventually he takes over the throne, and there he goes, Lion King, at the end. So we watch a trailer, right? There's a teaser for every movie, and when I looked up Oxford Languages, there's a definition of the word trailer. It says, an excerpt or a series of excerpts from a movie or program used to advertise it in advance, a preview. So basically, it's to show for people to have hope the movie's going to be good. We say, hey, I hope the movie's going to be good because I'm going to watch it, right? So when we watch these trailers, we know that they're going to have something important according to the trailer, and we get hope inside our mind. And again, we are in the season of Lent right now, and we have been watching, listening to those trailers about Jesus Christ. And up until right now, we've been through the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, and life. And right now, we are going to watch, listen to the one of the most important trailer in the Bible, which is, I am the resurrection and the life. So resurrection and the life. If you think about it, God has no resurrection concept in his point of view, because he does not die, right? He has that everlasting life in heaven, and also Jesus Christ, because he is Son of God. He's supposed to live with God forever. But because he loved the world so much, he came down to earth, and he gave us that hope that we can experience that eternal life too. So Jesus gives us hope for that eternal life in heaven. I'm going to read the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Again, starting from Adam and Eve, they committed a sin. Therefore, they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and therefore, they are supposed to confront death in their life, hardships, sufferings, pain. But God so loved the world, He sent down Jesus Christ down on the earth, and then He gave us that hope that we can live forever with God again when we got restored in this life. So when we think about it, we get this hope for heaven after life. But the thing is, we are living in this world, full of evil, full of hardships, full of sufferings, full of pains. So when we think about it, it's pretty hard to wait for heaven, right? Because usually people live about 80 to 100 years, right, in these days. So what if it is too painful? What if it's too hard to wait for the heaven? And I'll give you another verses. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. I'll read it. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to look at the last verse. Sorry, it's verse 9 to 10. The last verse, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the scripture is trying to tell us that in heaven, there is eternal life, eternal peace, eternal love, with no pain, with no suffering. But Jesus is trying to teach us how to pray, because God has fulfilled His will in heaven. We are eligible to ask such love, such peace, such blessings on this earth. So when you go for the Lord's Prayer, the very first part, that's the most amazing part in the world, in the prayer itself. Because our God, He loves the world so much, right? Not only He gives us hope for the eternal life in heaven, but He also led us to dream for that eternal life in this world, in this lifetime. So again, through Jesus Christ, Jesus Himself gives us that hope, such hope, for this life in this world that we are living in. So I'm going to read today's passage again, verse 17 to 21. I'll read it again. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Do you see the tone of Martha? Again, Martha, there's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. That family, Jesus loved that family so much. And Martha, Mary, Lazarus, they loved Jesus so much too. So when Lazarus was ill, Martha knew that Jesus was near there, near the town. It takes about a day by walking from their house. So she went up to Jesus. Hey, Christ, it's Jesus. My brother is ill. He's going to die. Can you save him? Can you save him? There is a story. First part of the chapter, I'll read it. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary, and their sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointments and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in that place where he was. There is something strange about know, the behavior, the attitude of Jesus, right? We just read that Jesus loved them so much. And it takes a day to get to the house from the city of Bethany. But Jesus stayed there for two more days, right? And then Lazarus was died. And it's been 4 days. You know, back in the days, Jewish people, they believed that when a person dies, their soul lingers around the body for 3 days. And after that 3 days, on the fourth day, it'll be completely gone. So it's been 4 days, right? And Lazarus, he was completely, he was dead. So Martha was angry. She was upset because she knew that Christ has such power to make Lazarus risen up again. To make a healing. But when Jesus Christ went to them, went to their house, pretty late, right? And she was upset, and she blamed Jesus for coming late. Again, she was saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. That's what she said to Jesus. And many times in our life, when we meet hardships, when we meet pain, when we meet suffering, we pray, right? We pray for healing. We pray for recovery. We pray for the love of Christ that will make us good. But sometimes it may not happen right away. It happened in my life too. It happened in my family's life, my friends. But I want to tell you that even if there's no answer right away, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to cling to God because He never stops working, right? I want to introduce another passage in the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 11, verse 24 to 33. It's quite famous. I'll read it for you. Immediately, He, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out His hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly, You are the Son of God." Amen. So this passage is about Jesus walking in the water. Disciples, they were having this trouble because of the wind, because of the waves, on their journey to the other side of the land, other side of the lake. So again, when we meet hardships in our lives, we tremble. We suffer from the hardships, right? Like Martha, when Lazarus has died, he was emotionally in trouble. And also Peter and the disciples, when they met that wave, when they met that wind, they were terrified. Some scholars say they might have been in that state for 9 hours at least. So imagine 9 hours in that boat with that wind and with that wave. But the thing is, Martha knew how to look upon Jesus. And also Peter knew how to turn his direction to Jesus. And they saw Jesus and they called out for help. Hey, Jesus, if it's you, Lord, if you are my Lord, help me to walk on the water. Do you know back in the days, the ocean symbolized death, pain, anxiety, fear. So when Jesus walked on the water, it's not just Jesus walking on the water like a miracle. It's a miracle. But it's moreover, it's Jesus has overcome anxiety, fear, death in the world. So Peter knew that Jesus is such a divine figure who can overcome everything. So he asked for help. Jesus, if it's you, Lord, who can overcome death, let me become like you. Because right now, because of the waves in my life, because of the wind in my life, I am in fear. I am experiencing this anxiety. I feel like I'm going to die. So let me become like you, Christ. And Jesus, he says one word, come. Come. To where though? Toward me. So immediately, Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. The Bible does not talk about the emotion Peter was feeling when he was walking on the water, but we can notice that he was in peace when he was surrounded by all the hardships in his life. But the thing is, when he saw the wind, the wave, when he lost that attention, he began to sink down in the water. When we live as Christians, sometimes we may be obligated to stay healthy, to stay good, to stay humble, to stay invulnerable. But it's not like that, right? We are humans. We are vulnerable. We are weak. We're not that strong. So when there is hardships in our life, we may sink down like Peter, even though we have met Christ. It's okay. When I was studying this one course at Regent College, there's one counselor came to our classroom, and she introduced us this one quote. It was amazing. It's okay to take medicine. It's okay to meet counselor. It's okay to be sick, even though you have met Jesus Christ, because it proves that we are weak, but Christ is strong. In our lifetime, we may walk on the water like Christ. We may fall down. We may sink down in the water. But it's okay, because in this world, we are just humans. We are weak. We are not strong. That's why we need Christ. Again, Martha was having trouble to stay still. She had the strong faith, that Jesus Christ would heal her brother and make them happy again. But when her expectation was failed, she was sinking down too with her emotion. But that ups and downs, when we experience that ups and downs in our life, I pray that, I hope that we will still be able to look upon Christ. It might be pretty hard because it's a funny story. When I was in grade 7, that's when I came to Canada from Korea. I did not know how to swim, but I went to the swimming pool with other friends, and they were all swimming freely, and they were having fun with this rope, like Tarzan, and I thought it would be fun, and I followed them, and I started drowning into the water. It was 4 meters deep, and I don't know if any of you have such experience, but there's only one thought in my mind that I'm gonna die right now. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything because I did not know how to swim. So when Peter was sinking down, it might have been the same for him, but he was able to look upon Christ and say, "Lord, save me. Save me, Lord." There's funny imagination. I like to imagine a lot. So when I was reading this Bible when I was young, I was imagining Jesus Christ looking Peter drowning and waiting for him to call, "Save me, Lord," that part. It's funny, but still, it makes sense because he wants us to grow. In other words, he wants us to wait for his time, his perfect time. This hope is not just ordinary hope, but we have to wait for his right time. When I was looking at the social media, there's this one comedian. His name is Don McMillan, and he introduced this funny allegory I wanted to introduce you. The original title is Marriage. It was about marriage, but again, I renamed it, How to Live a Happy Marriage Life. There's husband, wife, the result. I'll show you, there's some couples here, right? So when husband is wrong, wife is right. Result is wife is right. And you can make a guess. If husband is right and wife is right, then wife is right, not husband is right. And when husband is right, wife is wrong, guess what? Wife is right. And the last part, if husband is wrong and wife is also wrong, do you know what the result will be? Husband's wrong. So wife is always right. And also our Christ. That's a fun example, but I want you to think about Jesus Christ. I'll read a verse for you. It's Psalm chapter 33, verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He's faithful in all he does. Amen. We may doubt when we are waiting for his answer, but we gotta know that he is always right and true. He's always faithful. We are not, but he is. So having that verse, having that truth in our hearts, I want to ask you something, one question. Do we need that suffering? Do we need that pain? Do we need that dying part? Did Martha need it? How about Peter? Did he need that dying part? When we are suffering in our life, we may think like, God, why am I experiencing this? God, why am I having this trouble? God, why am I in this pain? Why am I feel like I'm gonna die? But the thing is, it's not about us with the dying part, but we are supposed to die. We are supposed to meet that dying part because of the sin that Adam and Eve committed. We are going to that direction, that dying part direction. I love animals. I love insects. I love talking about animals. And here's one photo. You know what it is, right? Lobster. Do you know that lobster is supposed to live forever? Theoretically, they live forever. So I forgot the exact term, but in their cells, one of the cells, they don't go old. They get renewed after a certain amount of time, and it continues. So that's why they live forever. And when they live forever, they grow bigger and bigger, right? And out of they try to get out of the shell, and that's the time for them to be vulnerable in their life. They're supposed to live forever, but they die because we eat them. Sharks eat them, but they also get hurt when they grow up because they have to get out of the shell and wait for the new shell. Okay, we're talking about the resurrection and the life. And in Greek word, it's called anastasis. And the definition of that word is a standing up, a resurrection, a raising up, rising. So resurrection means rising up. In order to rise up, you need to fall down. Like Peter, he got risen up again with Jesus Christ. But because he collapsed, because he fell down in the water, he was able to rise up with Christ. Martha, also the same. When Martha was emotionally fallen down, she was able to rise again with Christ, saying that you are the Son of God. And also the disciples and Peter, after Jesus Christ saved them, they glorified Christ. You are surely Son of God. We worship you. Again, the ocean, it symbolizes death, anxiety, fear, pain in our life. When we meet such pain, when we meet such suffering, when we meet such deadly hardships in our life, it's hard for us to look upon Christ. But you gotta know, Christ is always with us to make us risen up again. He's giving us that hope that we may experience such resurrection in this life. So Martha, she knew that Jesus Christ has such power, so she went to Christ and asked for the revival, the renewal, the resurrection for her brother, but not in this life, but for in the heaven. But Jesus Christ, he introduced Martha and the other people that himself is the resurrection and the life. So whoever believes him they may experience that resurrection, that rising up part after dying part. But all we need is waiting. I've been thinking, we need that faith. But I think faith equals waiting. When you take plane to travel, usually you have your luggages, right? You don't carry all your luggages when you go into the plane. You give it to the staffs to carry them on the plane. And I think that's faith. So that they can keep your luggages safe until we go to the destination and we'll wait for the luggages to come out, right? Same thing in our life with Christ. When we have our luggages full of pain, full of suffering, full of prayers, we give it to Christ and have that hope that Christ would carry such burden with him and make us renewed. Thankfully, in my life, there are many people who come to me telling about their own stories and their worries and asking for my advices. And many times when I share my stories, they get relieved, because many times it's pretty similar to what they are going through right now. And I think when Jesus Christ tells us to wait, tells us that he feels us, tells us that he is able to understand us, it is thankful because himself has experienced that deadly pain, sufferings. Again, he did not have to come down to this world, this earth, but he did. I read a verse for you. There's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." There's another verse for you. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 8 to 9. "Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him." During the season of Lent, some of you may think about this one movie. It's called Passion of Christ. I'm not going to show you the clip of the movie because it is pretty brutal for some of you to watch. Last year, when I was at Gwangmyeon Church, Methodist Church, there was this one program that I led. It's called Disciples Program. And I showed this clip to youths. They were crying. All of them they cried because they saw Jesus Christ enduring all the pain, suffering, and death. It's not just normal death, it's the cross. The most painful death you can meet back in the history, and maybe in these days too. So Christ himself, he has experienced the most painful death in this world for us. So he knows us, he feels us, and he is able to stay with us when we are in hardships, not in lifetime. Lastly, I want to introduce this to you. As renewal, Jesus gives us hope that we can be risen up from the darkness through Him, the only one who has overcome death. To sum up on my sermon right now, if you are in hardship right now, I want you to pray with your heart right now, not trying to be good, not trying to look good, but just the way as you are right now. And when you think about Christ, He's giving us hope, not only for the eternal life in heaven, but eternal life in this life, the resurrection in this life. So through Him, we may enjoy that resurrection in this life and after life too. I'll pray. Father God, You love the world so much, so You sent down Your only Son, Jesus Christ. You have introduced us many, many trailers for Your love, Christ. But today we have shared one of the most important parts of Your plan, the resurrection. Not only You died for us, not only You experienced such death, but You also resurrected from the dead. That's why we are thankful, because we have this desire to become like You. So when we pray like You taught us, we pray that such peace, such healing, such power, such love would happen in this life through You, Christ. Thank You, and I pray Your name. Amen.